Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I wish you a great weekend, and I hope that we can make you a little healthier this weekend with some useful information that can impact the health of your family, your friends, you personally. 888-302-3684 is our number. We got lots of stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about the high prevalence of magnesium deficiency. Also, some critical news about green smoothies. Green smoothies popular these days with expensive blenders on everyone's Christmas gift shopping list. But there may be some downsides to green smoothies, powdered drinks, as well as the stuff that you make at home. 888-302-3684. Dark chocolate is on our menu as well this hour. So listen in. And one of the big stories this week has to do with milk and milk drinking. You know, say milk is a natural. They encourage you to drink lots and lots of milk. Government websites encourage especially women to drink a lot of milk. Milk is a source of calcium and protein and vitamin D. So they say make sure that you have several glasses of the white stuff every day. But a new study out of Sweden suggests that that may not be such good advice. Drinking a lot of milk doesn't seem to provide a net health benefit for women and may even hinder their long-term survival prospects. This according to Swedish researchers. It's a long study. They observed women for 20 years. Here's what they found. Women who drank three or more glasses of milk per day, like they say you should, they were almost twice as likely to die as those who drank less than one. So there's some reasons, some serious questions about the nutritive value of milk. It's a cultural belief like mom and apple pie. Milk is inherently good. Well, not according to this study. And so what could possibly be the problem with milk? Well, the researchers don't exactly know. But and by the way, it didn't have to do with the fat content of milk because they looked at consumers of low fat and skim milk as well as full fat milk. So it wasn't about milk fat. The research suggests that a sugar called D-galactose is part of the reason why milk may create problems. Lactose is a disaccharide. It's a two sugar, and it's broken down more or less successfully. Some people don't break it down successfully. They have gastrointestinal problems when they consume lactose. They're lactose intolerant. But lactose is broken down into two sugars, glucose and galactose. And it turns out that galactose triggers chronic inflammation, oxidative stress, and rapid aging in mice. There are some studies suggest that it may contribute to a higher risk of ovarian cancer in women. And cheese, however, and other fermented milk products deliver less of the D-galactose. So this big study, 20 years of health data, 60,000 adult women. Women who drank three or more glasses of milk per day were almost two times as likely to have died during the study as women who averaged less than a glass a day. Compared with those drinking little or no milk, the women who drank the most were also slightly more likely to die of heart problems or cancer, even to break a hip. Whoa. So you'd think one advantage of drinking a lot of milk would be that it would prevent hip fractures, but no, there was a slight increase instead in the risk of hip fractures. Precisely what that was, it was about a 20% increase in hip fractures. Okay. Well, they looked at men. And what they found was there wasn't as much of an effect. Little effect from drinking three or more daily glasses of milk. Those who drank that much were they were just 10% more apt to die during the study. That's not good, but there's no, by no means equivalent to the magnitude of twice the risk to death of death that women experienced. So what about other sources of dairy? Well, it turns out that high consumption of yogurt and buttermilk produced the opposite effect in these women, less inflammation and oxidative stress. And it may be that, although fermented milk has less galactose, but another thing may be going on here. Fermented milk products might have a beneficial effect on the bacterial profile of the intestines. They contain probiotics and help the intestines balance the microbiome and possibly better digest and process foods. So, so much for the campaign. Milk is natural. I personally don't consume any. I'm off dairy these days because of the fact that it increases my nasal congestion. I don't want to have that. But other studies suggest that for those who consume high-fat dairy products like cheeses, there's actually, it's not about the saturated fat or the cholesterol. There's actually somewhat of a reduced risk of cardiovascular disease, or perhaps in some studies an equivalent risk. But they can't seem to prove that high-fat dairy increases cardiovascular risk. It's just milk. Something about milk, possibly the D-galactose. All right, 888-302-3684 is our number. We got a call from Michael in Philadelphia, PA. How you doing?
Yep, Mike, sorry.
I got to turn down that radio in the background.
I apologize. Sorry, Dr. Hoffman.
Sure.
My question is about my 81-year-old mother who has lymphedema. She's cognitively suffering from early cognitive impairment.
Would you want to tell us what the lymphedema entails? In other words, just lots of swelling of the legs.
Lower limbs and legs. Mm-hmm. So she wears the compression stockings and the compression boots in the evening. And her doctor had always said, avoid sodium, which she never shakes on any sodium.
Right.
And now I'm concerned that perhaps her cognitive impairment is being worse and perhaps by dehydration, because I realize she's really not drinking a lot. She doesn't like going to the bathroom, and a lot of older people like that.
Yeah.
So I got her drinking some coconut water. I'm adding some natural sea salt to it, and it's some of the mineral drops, like the concentrate drops. And I just wanted to make sure I'm not doing anything bad, given that she has lymphedema. I don't want to cause water retention or make that condition worse.
No, you're probably not, with moderate amounts of sodium. Here's the deal. Lymphedema it's less a matter of salt accumulation than an inability to pump the blood back out of the legs. And in this case, lymphedema means that it's not just blood that's accumulating in the lower extremities. It's that its lymph is exuding into the tissue because of, poor cellular energy. The pumps that keep the fluids out of the intercellular space are failing. And this happens as people get sick or as they age, or sometimes when the lymphatic channels are compressed. Say you have if you had a cancer of a lymph node, or if you had some kind of compression, or just obesity itself will sometimes do that. So in some cases, patients who have a lot of swelling restrict the water. They could have lots of swelling in their extremities, but they could be overall dehydrated in their bodies. And as people get older, they may experience urinary problems, both men and women. And they're reluctant to drink more. That's a big problem because that causes impairment of their kidney function. It can actually cause them to have high levels of BUN or high levels of potassium, dangerously high levels. And I actually sometimes see older patients, even when I review test results of older relatives, we'll see a high potassium, for example. And I'll just say, look, you need to drink more. I mean, you just don't like to drink because it makes you go to the bathroom right away, or you wake up at night. You don't want to do that. But you need to hydrate more. As to the sodium, probably a little bit of sodium would be okay. Check a blood test to make sure that there isn't an elevated blood level of sodium. Often patients with lymphedema, paradoxically, they'll have low levels of sodium on blood tests. And so a little bit of sodium isn't going to hurt. All right?
Okay.
Good question.
That's great. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling. 888-302-3684 gets you through to me in the doctor's office this weekend. We're answering your questions on today's edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh. Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
As a doctor, I'm always looking for ways to improve my patients' lives. And as an athlete, I'm always looking for ways to improve my own stamina and vitality. That's why I was excited to discover Super Beets. You know, fresh beet juice is great. It's proven to enhance athletic performance, but it's a mess to make and some people can't stand the taste. Super Beets helps your body create nitric oxide, which helps you boost circulation, relax arteries, and maintain healthy blood pressure levels. Get the benefits of 3 whole beets in just 1 teaspoon of Super Beets. I feel confident offering this to my listeners because I personally take Super Beets. It's my new favorite product. It gives me energy, stamina, and endurance. Go to intelligentbeets.com now, and with my special offer, you get a 30-day supply for free with your first order, plus get a free book, Beat the Odds, to learn more about the benefits of beets, free shipping, and a 100% money-back guarantee. So call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeets.com. That's 800-738-2198. Again, 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeets.com right now.
drhoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We invite your phone calls, 888-302-3684. Before we get your calls, though, green smoothies are all the fad. There are a variety of ways you can prepare them. You can get a bunch of greens, and they have these fabulous juicers, and you can do some serious damage to a package of spinach or kale and grind it up and drink it down, all that green goodness, and you feel radiant at the end, glowing green like the Hulk. Like green is equated with healthy. Or alternatively, you can get powders. There are tons of powders out there. You can add a tablespoon of powder to your smoothie and get all the health benefits of the vegetables without all that tedious eating and chewing, right? But there's some downsides to green smoothies. This, according to an article by a good colleague of mine, Dr. William Shaw. He's been a guest on Intelligent Medicine in the past. And he writes a very perceptive article pointing out that the most common green components of popular green smoothies are things like spinach, kale, Swiss chard, and arugula. And a typical internet recipe, for example, advises 2 cups of packed raw spinach. And then you can throw in some almonds or berries. And unfortunately, all those foods are very high in oxalic acid. And oxalic acid, excess oxalic acid, is a main cause of kidney stones. Anybody out there who takes a lot of green drinks suffer from kidney stones? Raise your hand, because you really amp up your consumption of oxalic acid. Only a few foods, notably spinach, Swiss chard, New Zealand spinach, beet tops. That's hardcore, beet tops. I like the beet bottoms, not the beet tops. Lamb's quarter, poke, purslane, and rhubarb have a very high oxalate content. There are many other foods that contain oxalate that you could check out on a list. Rhubarb, super high in oxalate. These are foods that we tell people with oxalate kidney stones to stay away from. But in addition to kidney stones, it's not just kidney stones. Oxalate crystals are very sharp. And if they're deposited in your tissue, they can be very painful. I've had a few patients who suffered from severe inexplicable bodily aches and pains, joint pains. They were told they did not have typical arthritis. They were told they had something like pseudo gout, and we got rid of the oxalate, and they were dramatically better. Also, oxalate is implicated in fibromyalgia, bodily aches and pains, as well as a condition, very disturbing condition, vulvodynia, painful genital burning discomfort that's chronic in women. And a low oxalate diet helps some women get out of trouble. So what can you do if you're suffering from excess oxalate? By the way, you can test for this. A urine test will reveal an excess level of oxalate. It turns out also that candida, yeast problems, cause more oxalate production. So getting rid of yeast is an important way of reducing your oxalate deposition in your kidneys and via your urine, which might irritate vulvar pain. You can also give supplements of calcium citrate and magnesium citrate. They're particularly helpful at neutralizing the oxalate. Vitamin B6 also helps to degrade oxalates. Hydrate, take in plenty of water, and consume a low oxalate diet. Unfortunately, that also includes one of my favorite foods, chocolate, relatively high in oxalate. Also, many nuts are high in oxalate. They're healthy, but if you got a problem with oxalates, consider reducing your overall intake. All right, let's take a call from Angel, who's in Chicago. How you doing, Angel?
Hi,
Hello.
How are you?
Good, good.
Good.
What's your question?
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, my mom is 68 years old. She saw an ear, nose, and throat doctor and was diagnosed with chronic sinusitis. And he prescribed amoxicillin, a combination, I forgot, and a steroid. So we decided not to do the steroid, but chose to go along with an antibiotic and to add fish oil and a probiotic. She's due to be done with the antibiotic in about a week, so we wanted to know what would be a good regimen to prevent recurrences.
Okay, so, you know, obviously with sinus problems, you know, there are many potential issues. You know, one is she allergic to a food? It'd be worthwhile possibly eliminating wheat and or dairy. We test patients specifically for food allergies. Higher levels of vitamin D can be helpful for boosting immunity. We might give transfer factor or a product called Empower to boost the body's immune response. Extra zinc, vitamin C, and selenium can be helpful. As for nasal treatments, one of my favorites is Clear, X-L-E-R nasal spray. You have to do it very, very assiduously. You've got to do it 4 times daily. Clear, X-L-E-A-R, one of our good sponsors here on Intelligent Medicine. And ultimately, probiotics also will help to boost your immune system and repair the damage done by the antibiotics. So there are a variety of things you can do, and those are some of them. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 for Intelligent Medicine. Have you heard about the superfood discovered by Olympic athletes for its stamina-boosting effects? Beetroot juice caused waves at the last Olympics because clinical studies proved 2 glasses of beetroot juice per day could increase stamina by 16%. Beets are a nutritional goldmine full of antioxidants, polyphenols, and electrolytes. But instead of trying to drink all that beetroot juice daily, I take Super Beets to get the same great benefits. Super Beets helps your body create nitric oxide, which helps you boost circulation, relax arteries, and maintain healthy blood pressure levels. Whenever I need a performance boost, I take Super Beets. It's my new favorite product. Each great-tasting serving gives me a rush of energy and stamina. Go to intelligentbeets.com right now, and with my special offer, you get a 30-day supply for free with your first order. Plus, get a free book, Beat the Odds, to learn more about the benefits of beets. And you get free shipping and a 100% money-back guarantee. So call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeets.com. That's 800-738-2198. Again, 800-738-2198, or go to intelligentbeats.com right now.
Why Kyolic? Well, all the numbers add up for your health. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement for heart health available on the market today. For over 40 years, Kyolic has been the leading garlic supplement in America. Kyolic is 50 times richer than raw garlic in active beneficial compounds. Kyolic is organically grown and aged for 20 months to enhance its nutritional value, creating beneficial compounds not found in fresh or powdered garlic, but only in aged garlic extract from our farms in California for for maximum purity. Over 750 scientific studies at major universities such as Brown, Cornell, and UCLA prove that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is working to enhance your body's immune function, protect your cells from free radical damage, and reduce the widest range of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Call today at 1-800-421-2998 for your free sample of Kyolic.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, as we are each weekend. And I hope you're having a healthy weekend. You're already doing something healthy on your own behalf by listening to this program. And before we get to additional calls, I want to comment on that previous caller, Angel from Chicago. I gave short shrift to discussion of one of my favorite supplements for chronic sinus problems. You know, I don't really like combination supplements. You know, it's sort of some of these things are sort of a mishmash of different ingredients, and sometimes they don't get it right, or they put in stuff that, you know, what were they thinking? But this is a really great product for chronic sinus problems. I've adopted it and use it extensively in my patients who have sinus issues, chronic nasal congestion, frequent bouts of sinusitis that require steroids and antibiotics. It's a very, very good combination. The product is called Sinatrol, Sinatrol. I believe there's information about Sinatrol on our website at drhoffman.com, so you can put that word into the search box, and I think you'll find it. So what are the ingredients? N-acetylcysteine, or NAC. It's a powerful amino acid that dissolves mucus. It breaks up the disulfide bonds, which create a network of sticky mucus. And this results in improved drainage out of the sinuses. N-acetylcysteine is used in respiratory medicine, sometimes as an inhaled drug. It's a mucus buster. So in one experiment, they took volunteers and they gave them NAC for 60 days. It resulted in a 35% increase in mucus clearance. And so NAC is very important for any kind of chronic mucus condition. It's got turmeric, a wonderful anti-inflammatory. It's got bromelain, which is proteolytic. It breaks down protein complexes. And berberine is actually a mainstay in some products like Wobenzyme. Wobenzyme is also a useful product for chronic sinusitis, especially if you experience painful pressure. And it has been shown to be effective at thinning nasal secretions. Berberine is a great natural antibiotic, and it also has an anti-inflammatory effect. By the way, we use berberine to treat metabolic syndrome and a different product called CM-Core, very effective. We're getting nice feedback on CM-Core containing berberine, but berberine has traditionally been used for respiratory infections, and it contains licorice extract, which is a kind of a mild steroid-like effect. It's anti-inflammatory without the downsides of potent pharmaceutical steroids. Andrographis, which is an immune booster, Eleuthero, which is a form of ginseng that has been shown to be helpful for patients with respiratory problems, and thyme, thymol, which is the active ingredient in thyme, is a natural antibacterial, antifungal. It helps to loosen phlegm, and it's been approved by the German Commission E to support respiratory challenges. So the product's called Sinatrol. If you've got chronic sinus problems, give it a try. Take one capsule twice daily, or even two capsules twice daily is perfectly fine. I think you'll find it beneficial. Check it out at drhoffman.com. By the way, product not available usually from retail health food stores. It's prescribed by health practitioners, and we stock it on our website. All right, this item, very important item because, once again, chocolate has been proven beneficial. There's an article by Dr. Steven Sinatra that ultimately I think we'll post on our website because we share information from our good friend Dr. Steven Sinatra with our readers. The benefits of dark chocolate. It helps to lower blood pressure naturally. It lowers the risk of cardiometabolic disorders. Here's the research. A June study out of Texas Women's University compared 14,310 adults living in Jordan. They consume chocolate over there. High intake of chocolate was associated with a significant decrease in blood pressure. In the British Medical Journal this August, researchers in Paris did a meta-analysis of seven previous studies, and they found that the higher your dark chocolate intake, the lower your risk of developing a cardiometabolic disorder. That would be heart disease or diabetes. Higher chocolate consumption was linked with a 37% reduction in cardiovascular disease, 29% reduction in strokes. So the question is, what's the real deal when it comes to the beneficial flavanols, the business end of the chocolate? Because not all chocolates are alike. I mean, we got a lot of gifts, in our office, and some of it is milk chocolate with cream filling, and eating a lot of that stuff is just going to make you fat. It's not going to confer the benefits of, 80% dark chocolate, which some people find less palatable. It's a little bitter, less sweet, but it's the beneficial flavanols that do the trick. And so there's an article in ConsumerLabs.com. Now, ConsumerLabs.com, they've got a business model. They charge you for access to their articles. So with apologies, I can't share this information. You got to go to ConsumerLabs.com. And they have a very interesting and lengthy article where they test the chocolates in terms of their content of the beneficial flavanols, as well as they look for potential toxins. Now, one of the problems with chocolate is the more concentrated it is, the more likely you're going to get harmful agents like cadmium and sometimes lead. And that's not good. So to my delight, I found that one of our products at the Hoffman Center, Reservage Cocoa Well True Energy, the product is called True Energy, and it's a capsule. So it's not like a delicious tasting chocolate. It's a functional food. It's a way of getting these beneficial flavanols into your system without one iota of pleasure or enjoyment. It's like taking resveratrol pills and not drinking the red wine. But you get much higher concentrations of the beneficial flavanols by taking the pills. That was number one in flavanol concentration, reaching almost 40%. The product is called True Energy, tops the list. Now, there are other products on the list. Cocovia is another good one, and it's almost as good as the Reservage in terms of the flavanol potency. And that's a commercial product that you can get. The problem is with a lot of other sources of high-grade flavanols, you also get a fairly whopping dose of cadmium. And the cadmium concentration, for example, in now certified organic cocoa powder was 1 microgram per gram. It was a tiny amount, but if you consume lots of it, ultimately your cadmium levels will build up. Hershey's cocoa, natural unsweetened cocoa, plenty of flavanols, but also a fairly high amount of cadmium. And some of these products also contain lead. Trader Joe's cocoa powder, unsweetened, it's about a third. It's about a third of the concentration of the flavanols that you get from Reservage True Energy. But you also get a fairly high amount of cadmium. I was pleased to see that Ghirardelli unsweetened cocoa. That's 100%. That's pretty grody. That stuff doesn't taste good. It's just cocoa, pure cocoa. Pretty pure. It doesn't have any cadmium. And 90% Cocoa Supreme Dark. I sometimes eat that. And you know, once you get away from the pure cocoa, the flavanol concentration decreases dramatically. So instead of 40 with the Reservage pills, with the Ghirardelli 90% Cocoa Supreme Dark, it's a bitter kind of chocolate bar, you get about 7 or 8% flavanols. But, you know, nonetheless, I think I'm pretty fixed because I consume a lot of high-test dark chocolate and doesn't seem to put weight on me. But I think there's some very, very important benefits to be delivered via cocoa products. Just check out consumerlab.com for the 411 on the flavanol content. It's a comparative list. As well as the potential for cadmium contamination. Very interesting. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Did you know that two of the top five most prescribed drugs in this country are for digestive disorders? It's a fact. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist. One of the questions I'm most frequently asked is how to relieve and eliminate digestive discomfort. Many people don't realize that indigestion, heartburn, bloating, or gas are often caused by a bacterial imbalance in the GI tract. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics exclusive formula delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of your discomfort, relieving uncomfortable symptoms. I recommend Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics for healthy digestion and overall good health because it's backed by 25 years of research. This exclusive formula improves digestive pH and helps you regain bacterial balance by correcting the root cause of digestive issues. I encourage you to discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
At Nordic Naturals, we know that a commitment to deliver the world's safest, most effective omega oils requires an exceptional process. That's why we manage every step of production, from boat to bottle. That includes sustainably sourcing wild-caught fish from well-managed fisheries. It means using state-of-the-art equipment and technology at our manufacturing plant in Arctic Norway. Nordic Naturals bottles and encapsulates our omega-3s at our own facility and carefully ships products from our eco-friendly headquarters in California. The result? Nordic Naturals products have received more than 40 awards for taste, innovation, and product excellence. You can trust the quality of Nordic Naturals products and know you're getting all the health benefits omega-3 fish oils offer. Nordic Naturals' high-quality, great-tasting omega-3s make staying healthy easier for you and your family. When choosing an omega-3 fish oil product, choose the number one fish oil in the U.S. Choose Nordic Naturals. Available at natural product retailers or online at NordicNaturals.com.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. And sort of a lightning round of stories this week. First off, cutting down on salt could cut headaches by one-third, according to new research. Now, you might think this has something to do with high blood pressure, because when people have high blood pressure, they get sort of a dull headache when their blood pressure is high. They can actually tell you, I think my blood pressure is high. No, it did not have anything to do with high blood pressure, because even people with normal blood pressure, when they cut their salt intake from a whopping 9 grams a day, which unfortunately is the average for people who consume a lot of salty junk food, to 3 grams a day, you cut it in a third, it will reduce your headache risk by about a third. Now, this is not a surefire message for every type of headache. I'm not sure it works for intense migraines. But for people with chronic daily headaches, might be worth a try. High-salt foods include bread. Yeah, interestingly, put a lot of salt in baked goods, canned soups, cheese, pickles, and even cereal. These are salt, you know, obviously aged meats, processed meats, and, you know, any kind of you know, convenience food is often highly salted. So, you know, you're suffering from headaches, give it a shot because you have about one-third chance of alleviating your headache. This one is kind of alarming. Speaking of canned soups, cans these days have liners that are made of something called bisphenol A, BPA. And there have been some real concerns about BPA lately. In fact, Canada has banned BPA. We've not seen fit to do that yet. In the journal Hypertension, what they did is they fed a group of volunteers a hot beverage, in this case soy milk, from a can. And what they found is that almost immediately the levels of BPA in their urine rose dramatically within just 2 hours. But so did their blood pressure. On the days when they drank the same beverage from glass bottles, which don't use BPA linings, there was no significant change in their BPA levels or blood pressure. So among the many things that can increase our blood pressure, chemicals in an environment, plus BPA has been linked to reproductive abnormalities, potentially cancer. I mean, a lot of controversy. Some people say, you know, especially the industry says, no problem. There's no proof that this is dangerous. In 2012, the Food and Drug Administration said BPA could no longer be used in baby bottles and children's drinking cups. Canada banned it in 2010. However, the American Chemistry Society and industry trade groups has said BPA is safe, and they oppose federal and state legislative proposals to ban it. Okay. Well, I, for one, am going to avoid BPA. By the way, lots of BPA on those receipts. You know, when they say, do you want a receipt? It's like, no, I don't want to. I don't even want to touch it. You touch it, you can get the BPA in your skin. I feel sorry for the cashiers because they're constantly handling those BPA-saturated receipts. All right, this one, a couple of stories about aspirin. You know, aspirin is considered a mainstay of prevention. They used to say, well, you know, if you're over 50, if you're over 40, everybody should take an aspirin because aspirin is so beneficial. It thins the blood. It reduces the risk of heart attacks and strokes. It's great. Okay. Big study in Japan. They looked at 14,000 older patients who were at risk for cardiovascular disease. They had hypertension, high cholesterol, diabetes, and they were given low-dose aspirin and followed for 6.5 years. And what they found was there was no protection conferred by the aspirin. Now, this is even, you know, just the average healthy 40 or 50-year-old would get virtually no benefit. But then, you know, they say, okay, if you're at risk, say you have a risk factor, doctors still say, well, maybe you should take an aspirin. You know, your cholesterol's a little high, take an aspirin. Well, they found in this group, daily aspirin did not lower the risk for adverse cardiovascular events among older Japanese patients who had atherosclerotic risk factors. Plus, unfortunately, aspirin is a blood thinner and irritates the stomach and can sometimes send people to the hospital with bleeding ulcers or cause anemia due to gastrointestinal bleeding. So it's not entirely innocuous. So if it's not beneficial, why take it? Yes, there are circumstances where people should take aspirin if you've had a mini stroke or if you've had, you know, if you've had a heart attack, perhaps a stent. Here's another aspirin story. You know, sometimes they piggyback aspirin onto other blood thinners. So, for example, if you're taking Coumadin or otherwise known as warfarin, they sometimes add aspirin. They say, well, the Coumadin's not enough, so we're going to thin your blood even more with the aspirin. Well, here's what they found. The combination of aspirin plus warfarin was associated with significant excess bleeding risk, but it did not offer protection against heart attack or stroke. So in other words, all the risks were there, but none of the benefits. In fact, of the over 4,000 patients who took the aspirin with the Coumadin, 51% had experienced major bleeding events after 2 years, and 12 of those events were killer events. They were fatal. So there were about three times the risk of excess death when you added aspirin to Coumadin. So that's something doctors really should phase out. And let's be more selective about our use of that daily, you know, the low-dose aspirin, because, you know, the risks outweigh the benefit for the most part, unless you really, really need it. Okay, this one, funny story. but there's a serious import to this. Laughing gas or nitric oxide. You know, some people ask for anesthesia when they go to the dentist's office. They can't, they really want to be under during a procedure. According to the story, the dentist's office might be the last place you'd look to find a quick cure for very refractory treatment-resistant depression. But a new study suggests that laughing gas, it's nitrous oxide, may help to get rid of very, very difficult to treat depression in short order. And this is along the lines of, you know, there are various types of brain scrambling treatments that may help depression. There's electroshock, and now there's what's called extracranial, transcranial magnetic therapy, where they administer a high magnetic field outside your head, and they kind of reshuffle the deck in your brain, and you come out feeling better. There's no question that shock therapy, electric therapies, in this case, laughing gas, can be helpful. This so laughing gas joins the lines, the annals of other illustrious chemicals like ketamine, which is a temporary anesthetic, and even MDMA, which is the active ingredient in ecstasy, is something that can lift people out of refractory depression. So this study was published in the journal Biological Psychiatry. They compared the effects of an hour of inhaled nitrous oxide in 20 patients whose depression had failed to yield to standard antidepressants. And what they found is that three patients reported their symptoms had disappeared almost completely. Another seven reported significant improvement, and seven patients reported mild improvement in their symptoms. So laughing gas has a way of getting rid of serious depression. All right, you'll find these stories and more at drhoffman.com. Plus, we've got some great podcasts. You can also listen to our programs in their entirety when we put them up on our podcast page. So check them out. Lots of useful information, plus great articles. Subscribe to our newsletter. And we'll be right back for most of you with another hour of Intelligent Medicine.